And welcome to the newest episode of Gaming Disassembled. I'm your host, Night of Oa, and our other host, as always, is J-Dot. How are you today?
What up, G-Funk?
You took my line.
I did.
That is my line. Whatevers.
Yeah. Newsflash, I'm a huge jerk.
You don't have to remind anybody.
No, I think it is self-evident. It's just, I had to do it because I was like, you know, after I spent all that time going, what does G-Funk mean? I don't understand what you're trying to say to me.
I'm bringing back
some
all kinds
of street slang.
I'm bringing back all kinds of slang because, like, in some of my articles, I've been known to use the word diggit, as well as tomcat, also rad. Also, if you hear me wincing over here, it's because I was in a major, major accident.
What? What? What happened?
So, me and my girlfriend Anissa were playing Kinect.
Did she wang you in some sort of exercise-driven rage?
We were playing multiplayer Kinect, and we were playing Fruit Ninja. Or, as she calls it, and now I can't help but say it this way, it's called Super Ninja Fruit from, like, now on. Right? It's not actually called
Are
Fruit
you...
Ninja.
Were you the fruit that she ninja'd?
Well, she was cheating. I figured out somehow that she found a way to cheat. And she was cutting more fruit than me, and she was cutting my fruit. So, because of this, I retaliated and started to try and get on her side of the screen and cut all her fruit. The problem was that in my earnestness to do this, I think, like, I swung really hard to, like, get this one piece of fruit, and she swung at the same time the opposite direction. And so my finger, like, hit her hand, like, her arm, and just, like, you know when your finger just jams ridiculously hard? Like, it hurt. And I think I actually had to put, like, ice on it. It hurts.
Poor baby.
It hurts.
Ninja-related accident.
It was a major accident. And plus, like, I tend to be a wuss when it comes to that kind of thing anyway. Like, I'm the first person, like, did I break it?
Do I need to slip you a domestic violence palm card? Like, you know, there are people you can call for that.
Oh my god.
I'm here for you. That's my day job. I can set you up.
Well, I do
not
work with insurance
now. Make light
of
domestic violence, but come on.
Should have taken out bodily injury on myself. So what were you up to?
Like, literally fighting with my web host and painting my nails and trying to color my hair. Did you see the pictures of what I did to my hair this weekend?
No, I did not.
I mean, not that my hairstyle is, like, super interesting podcast topic, but I shaved off all my hair except for the bangs.
For real?
For real. I totally gave myself a straight buzz cut. I didn't mean to cut it quite so short, but, you know, I don't know if you've ever cut your own hair, but generally your first adventure with the trimmers always kind of ends up with a whoops.
Yeah.
And, well, I guess I'll just go for it kind of moment.
Yeah.
So I kept the bangs, and then I shaved everything else off, and then tonight I was trying to bleach my bangs so I could dye them pink. Guys, I am a professional grown-up who works for the Department of Welfare, but they don't have policy that explicitly forbids me from fucking around with my hair, so...
So you're going to walk in tomorrow.
Monday morning. No hair, except for pink ass bangs.
Except for pink bangs. Wow. Please, God.
I went for the pink, too, because the guy I was with, my friend Phil, he went with me to the store because my trimmers died in the middle of it. So I had, like, this reverse mohawk and my trimmers were broken. So I, like, had to jam a hat on my head and run to the store and buy new trimmers. And we're picking out colors. And I found this, like, obnoxiously pink color. What do you think of this one? And he goes, you know, if you get that, I'm going to have to get you a Pip-Boy because you'll look just like a Fallout character. And I was like, sold.
That's awesome. Well, okay. So is the pick on your Twitter?
Well, there were some on Twitter on, I think I use YFrog. And then there's a whole bunch on Google Plus too. Like,
okay.
You know, if you want to go look me up on Google Plus, I'm J.Dot Sloan, and you can. I think I made all the pictures public because I have no shame.
Well, okay. Well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Oh God! Now every time I say that, I think of Miley Cyrus. That's pretty cool. That's so pretty cool. Okay.
Hey, Miley. So you sent me a list of stuff that we're going to talk about today, and most of it's stuff I'm kind of interested in. I'm mostly laughing because one of the first things you sent me was a response to the article last week from that EA HR rep about how sexism isn't actually a problem. We're just like inventing whatever windmills to tilt at or something. And I'm laughing because there's this really well-reasoned response to Gabrielle Toledano, I think was the lady who wrote the article last week. And so this person, and I can't bring up the name because of course right now my internet connection decides to be slow.
It's Foz Meadows, and
Okay, so
the blog is Shattersnipe, Malcontent, and Rainbows.
which totally sounds like me. Anyway, so this Foz Meadows person writes this really well-reasoned response that cites a lot of studies and actual information and factual support for how sexism is entrenched in the industry, but not just this industry, but everywhere, and how it actually harms women's ability to get into like certain areas and blah 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 blah. Like really amazing, concise article that explains all the things that were wrong with the original article. And I'm like, see this is what I wish I could have come up with instead of just being like, no.
Yeah, but this took some time to write, 'cause damn. Yeah, it's a meaty article, and it's a great article, 'cause I mean I read it, the whole thing, but it's very good. It actually perfectly conveys what I was trying to get across last week, which was basically the article was just a really factless, kind of, well, it's not all so bad. And just kind of ignored its premise.
I will say this, I'm very proud that I use the phrase flippant because Foz Meadows uses the word flippant, and I'm like, yes, I almost sounded intellectual for like one minute. Like I wasn't just war garbly rage bearding about it.
What's great about it is that if and I'll put a link to this in the small little description on our podcast, but the best thing about this is that in her article, the original article, she cited in her first paragraph basically, well, I know that this has happened. And she linked to number one reason why. And it was a little bit of a roundup of some of the best ones and the biggest ones or whatever. But here's all these reasons of why sexism isn't terrible in this industry and there's other stuff and all this other thing. What's great about this is that in one paragraph, and actually it's over two paragraphs, he actually puts, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. It's a great depot for information. If you're looking to know a little bit more about this and why this has become such a big topic over the last year or two, you can read this article, and just from the links that are provided, get a really good picture of why it's kind of all come to a head over the last few months. I've been following it for a minute, and while I had seen, a good portion of them, there was like five or six things that I hadn't even heard about. The Capcom fighting game streaming debacle, that was, and I and there was a couple, right? I went to a couple of these and was like, holy crap, did you see that?
No, I didn't. I mean, I saw there was a bunch of links and stuff, and gave my like feminist nod of approval, like where I just like my mouth firms into a line and I just slowly nod, saying yes, this is an appropriate and reasoned response. I had a very angry time of it last week. But there was a thing with Capcom and streaming, you said?
Well, streaming. So Capcom did a live thing via it's not Twitch TV. I forget which one is it, but basically they did kind of this little competition, and it was they got a Tekken team and a Street Fighter team, and they were going at it in Street Fighter versus Tekken, and they were streaming the entirety. They did it for like 5 days. So they were streaming like huge chunks of time. So it wasn't just the fights themselves. It was like all the in-between crap, like while they were practicing and talking back and forth. And on the Tekken team was, and I forget her name. I want to say it was Mallory, but I could be wrong. On the Tekken team, there was one girl, and this girl, this poor thing, just got was it was she was the topic. It seemed from I watched one, God, it had to be like a solid like 2 hours of time, right? In that time, like it seemed just she was the only topic. And it was by the team captain, who just kept, like, constantly talking about her, talking to her. And I couldn't actually, from watching the video, I couldn't actually tell where she forfeited. But man, there's one part where her face, like, it's just, she's so done with it. But I mean, I felt terrible because I was annoyed. Like, this guy was just, smelling her and doing all kinds of, like, oh, it's it, and he's making light of it the entire time. But I mean, if someone were constantly on you, anybody, for 2 hours, you would, like, they would drive you nuts, guy or not, right?
I mean, keep in mind that this is one of the reasons when a guy is like, I was just trying to be nice, what's wrong? And it's really hard to reply to that because certainly when one guy says, hey, beautiful or whatever, he's not trying strictly to demoralize you and objectify you and turn you into like his possession. Okay. It's for him, it's one incident. I said one thing, why she's so fucking pissed off. And it's like me, I have to hear that all day, every day. So like on the one hand, you're describing this and I'm like shuddering, like, oh God, ugh, And it's part of the reason that I'm half a hermit that I am, is because, every time I go out and want to walk up the street, or whatever, I have to go, okay, am I prepared to deal with whatever random comments I fucking deal with? Did I ever tell you about the time I was a garbage bitch?
No.
Totally, I was, okay, so downtown Pittsburgh, there's this place called Market Square, and it's just basically an open plaza ringed by shops, okay, right in the middle of downtown. So I'm sitting in the plaza in a chair, reading a book, like straight up head buried in a book, not like looking around, nothing. And this guy comes over, drags a chair, like, and they're all metal chairs. So of course, it makes this screeching noise, drags a chair over to me and goes, can I sit next to you? And I go, actually, no, not really. I'd like my space, And he stands there for like a minute, like confused that I said no. And then he goes, he starts talking to me, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm reading a book. I'm not really interested in being social right now. And he puts his hand on me and to say, come on, baby. And I'm like, no. At which point he storms off, calling me a fucking bitch and telling me I'm garbage and that he doesn't want to be with me anyway. Like he's screaming this to the entire everyone who's in the plaza at rush hour traffic at like 5 p.m. or whatever,
Wow.
And you say, wow. And I'm like, part of me is like, and then part of me is like, I tweeted about it at the time too, and I'm like, I'm laughing because like, yeah, I'm a garbage bitch, yo. Like I wanted to make a superhero out of myself. Garbage bitch to the rescue. Just jumps out of dumpsters and is like, fuck you, don't touch me, and runs away. But that's a defense mechanism dealing with, this kind of stuff. So like you hear, you're talking about this girl getting harassed by this guy for 2 hours. And yeah, I would have flipped my shit. But I would have flipped my shit because it's only recently that I learned that it was that I have decided it's okay to flip my shit. Maybe it's not okay for guys to talk to me like that. And that I can say, no, please don't sit next to me. No, I don't want to hang out with you. No, don't touch me. Strange man on the bus.
Yeah.
And not feel like and not personally feel like I actually am garbage and a bitch. So, I'm glad for her that she, after 2 hours was like, I don't have to take this. I'm sad for her that she had to quit to make a statement about that because I'm sure, if she's a competitive person, she had a lot invested in that tournament. She went there to be awesome at what she was
I was
doing
gonna
and
say,
instead,
yeah.
had to leave because of the harassment. And that sucks.
Yeah, it really does. And I don't know how. The thing is, right? That small snippet was just like, what, an hour and 45 minutes? She had to deal with that for like a day. In fact, more than that, because if she
She's
was there
had to
the
deal
entire.
with that all of her life, especially if she's been dealing with online gaming and stuff. And in fact, you linked to another thing, another website called Not in the Kitchen Anymore,
Oh, love that.
which I didn't listen to any of it because I was kind of in the middle of other stuff. But just reading the transcripts and everything, I understand it's actual literal conversations from online gaming from this chick going on to
Yes.
play Call of Duty, was it?
Yeah, she and it's all from Xbox Live, right? So it's all recorded and the transcript will actually break down who's talking or whatever, and you can just read it that way. But when you listen, I mean, it's just amazing because I mean, most people, especially on Xbox Live, have dealt with this kind of thing with douchebags. But it's just, unless you are a girl and you actually, I've always been in the room with in chat, in gaming and stuff with other girls and stuff and whatever. And there's always other, women in our party and things. So it's, you're just kind of you're used to that, but most times it's with people you know. You're in parties and stuff like
Right.
that. I think the party system really helped a lot in this case. But in certain modes, especially in like Call of Duty and I think Battlefield or something, I know there's certain modes that won't allow you to be in a party because of competitive advantages or whatever. So in those cases, you have to be with, other people. And I'm amazed, right? I went through like two pages, and I was just, I mean, it's just, you get, as a guy, it just frustrates you. It's like, how did it get here? You know what I mean? I don't understand why my gender has a bunch of fucking idiots in it. It's
Well,
just.
not idiots, but a lot of entitlement issues, and the answer to how did we get there has a lot to do with culture and media and
Yeah, no, I'll say idiots.
entrenchment
No,
and
they're fucking
repetition,
idiots.
and there's like big fancy academic answers to that, but then you actually have to listen to the shit that's coming out of people's mouth, and you're just like, do you? It's like when you read YouTube comments and you're like, do you hear yourself talk? Like, is there any kind of like standing outside of yourself and going, whoa, did I really say that?
And then you hit send. Like, I don't understand. There's a moment before you hit the button. Like, I will call it. No, it's straight up, they're fucking idiots, okay? There's no scientific whatever, okay? These people are fucking dumbasses, and they can't deal with normally when this kind of thing happens, and it's the bro man culture or whatever. If they deal with women this way, normally you can trace it back somewhere along the line. This is how they also treat other people, like their male friends. Like, they're assholes in general, normally. Like, it's not, like, I don't really separate them because it's like, man, if you can't talk to someone of the opposite gender without being a condescending, bigot asshole, then you're probably just a douchebag in general. Like, I don't see the distinction. You kind of either are or you aren't.
There's also a certain amount of defense that goes on. Like, okay, so there's self-defense, because whenever someone attacks you for your douchebag attitude or whatever, your first response is to defend yourself. It's always to defend yourself. It took me a really long time to learn how to stop defending myself and actually listen to friends that were trying to explain to me a lot of this stuff and go, oh, I actually was being a huge douchebag there. That really wasn't a funny joke that I made. Oh my God, I'm so fucking sorry. So that's a journey that is really hard to go on to begin with. And then, for example, there is one of my best friend's husband is an unrepentant douchebag of this nature. And but we used to get in fights on Twitter. And I think at one time I was talking about representation in comics. I was like, it'd be really nice if like we had female characters that were more accessible for someone like me who doesn't want to be a sex object. I have other things that I'd like to be. I think really what it boiled down to, I was like, I'm like, I'm not censoring you. I'm not saying you can't have your cheesecake and your lasers and tits or whatever. I'm just saying I'd like more added to it. And he's like, yeah, well, I'd like more different flavors of M&Ms, but I'm not going to get what I want either. And I was like, did you seriously just compare, my desire for equality and representation for your desire for caramel M&Ms? That was the point where I blocked him, by the way. That was it. But my friend, so here's the thing. So he's just an unrepentant douchebag because he thinks it's funny to troll people. You talk about that. But then my friends all defend him. And not in a what he said was true kind of way, but in a he was just trying to be funny, you should just get over it, you're too sensitive kind of way.
Yeah, and that's bullshit too.
Again, so there's just a lot of culture that kind of reinforces their behavior. It's not just them having learned to be douchebags and being petulant children all the time, too.
True, true, right? I mean, I was being a little rant worthy there. But notinthekitchenanymore.com is actually worth giving a listen. And it's actually got a lot of good stuff on there.
It does, and it encapsulates the experience of being a woman online. And I don't mean being a woman and being online, but being online with the obvious knowledge that you're a woman. So, just listen to all of those and try to think about what it's like that is the only thing that you ever really hear, unless you cherry pick the people that you will play with to only be the people that you know 100% certain aren't going to be douchey to you.
Exactly. And by the way, thank you to at Wizard of Liz. She's the one who actually sent me the Sexism Gaming the response article. So very
Nice.
cool, because it's very good. Like, if you read all the stuff and if you listened to last week, I would really suggest going to read that. And you don't have to read the whole thing, but even if you just do a little bit of, if you're wondering where some of all this stuff came from, it's really good for that. And Not in the Kitchen Anymore, very interesting. If anyone who's been playing on Xbox Live for a while knows that attitude, you hear these people all the time, but it's just it's ridiculous. It really is. And will probably annoy you.
Speaking of old ass things that we should probably put to bed but still keep bringing back for all time, they have announced that they're producing Zelda on the Wii U, which I mentioned this to again my housemate Phil, and he goes, "A what?" And I go, "A Wii U." He's like, "What's that?" And I'm like, "I don't know. It makes this noise, I think. Wii U, Wii U, Wii U."
You
'Cause
had
I
that one
honestly didn't
saved all week, didn't you?
have it. Well, it could
You
do it
did.
like the banana police from Foster Time. It's just a little, or not from Foster Time, from their bananas Foster Police from Adventure Time. They're a little lower. Wee. So anyway, so they're putting Zelda on the Wii U. I'm gonna skate over that. And I'm not that interested in the new Zelda game, the new Zelda game. And not to say that the new Zelda games aren't a lot of fun. It's just, it's on Wii U, which is not a platform I was really gonna be interested in. So I was like, okay, well, there's a new Zelda game. There's Zelda games on the DS all the time. I don't play too because I don't really want to walk around with a DS. I have enough gadgets strapped to my body. I don't need more gaming on top of that. But then they're like, oh, by the way, we're also gonna re-release an HD remake of Wind Waker on the Wii U. And I was like, motherfucker, now I'm gonna end up with a Wii U. Son of a
Are
bitch.
you really gonna buy a Wii U though for that?
I am genuinely tempted. I really am. I know Wind Waker isn't everybody's favorite, and if you want to dog pile on me about why that game was terrible, you're welcome to. I really liked it. It hit all of those buttons for me that make me really enjoy a game, the exploration, the treasure, power ups, da 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 da. And I liked the animation style. I thought it was really cute. And all the weird little Zelda noises make sense when you have kind of a goofy animation style. Were you the one that was complaining about that last show where like when you have a half serious game and it's making like weird beedly boop noises that you're like a
Oh,
little disjointed by that?
yeah, I was, but that's the only one that I think it's awesome in because it makes sense, it fits.
Because it makes sense in the set. I apparently absorbed that ideology, and I agree with you that it actually made it a fun game. And I would love to play it again. I don't have any kind of Nintendo systems I can play Wind Waker on, so that is actually incentive for me to buy a Wii U. It's of course going to depend on cost. If the Wii U is $600, I'm not paying $600 for a remake of Wind Waker. I'll just be sad and pout at it a whole bunch.
Well, it'll be 300. Can you pay? Are you gonna pay 300?
See, the thing is that my like roommates are all paying rent on time and everything lately, and I just keep having all this money, and
And it's
I
burning
should
a hole in
be
your pocket.
thrilled, but it's burning holes in my pocket, and that's exactly what game companies love to hear. I'm sure as soon as I say I've got all this money burning a hole in my pocket, they're all like scooting up to me, going, "Hey, babe, how's it going? How you doing? How's it going?
How you
Here you got
doing?
some money. How you doing? Would you like to see
Yes.
my nice arrangement of Zelda games that I can sell to you now?"
Yeah.
I don't know if this is true, but I heard that because it's on the Wii U and it's like the little tablet that into your hand and then the system that goes on your TV and all of that, that rather than because with the original Wind Waker you had to have like a DS or a whatever it was before the DS, but then there was the Tingle Tuner. Like
Oh,
you
God.
basically would miss out on content if you didn't have the extra equipment. So I hear that's all going to be integrated.
Yeah, integrated to the new controller. So that makes sense. And it's going to be updated. The graphics are going to be updated. But I mean, seriously, because of the art style, it holds up. Like it's still a beautiful game. Like I, of all the Zeldas I played, I enjoyed my time with Wind Waker the most. And it's one that if I was hankering for any other reason to buy a Nintendo Wii U, I would this would put me over the top. The problem is, this alone will not get me to buy a Wii U.
I think $300, like at 200 or 250 even, I might have been a little more tempted. 300 is normal console payment, and I'm like, eh.
Yeah, and now this got announced though with the announcement that Zelda for Wii U, a new edition of the franchise, will be coming to Wii U at some point. Which was kind of a giant dumb moment, but hey, at least they acknowledged it. Because everyone knew that was coming. It's like, oh, hey, a new
Yeah,
Mario's coming. Well, really?
you think?
That's not an announcement. But they're trying to do some new things and stuff. But this is just really nice. The thing is, The system that is at the top of my want pile right now is a PS3. It's not anything else. There's so many games. The backlog has built up now of so many titles that I wanted to play and can't play because they're only on the PS3. And then The Last of Us has me wanting to get it before that comes out. And at that point, I can get one of those now for almost 200. If the Wii U doesn't have a price drop, if we're talking next Christmas, and Wind Waker's out, and the Wii U has dropped to 250 to 200, it won't be 200, 250, let's say, for the basic set, I would be tempted because there's enough other fun stuff on that system that, I'd be tempted. Plus, I do love that TV deal.
What was the TV deal?
So when that and that hasn't come out either, right? So there's a lot of potential for the Wii U, but it's not all realized yet. But Nintendo TV, which is spelled like TIIV, like their Wii U thing. So it's basically a full on it's a full on TV receptor through your controller. It's actually got in there where you can surf for, TV channels and watch TV on it while someone else is playing a game or vice versa. But it's
Oh.
all through the Wii U. So your Wii U's on, you're playing a game, someone wants to watch, something. And they go, okay, well, you go ahead and watch Arrested Development, let's say, right? The new season. They pop that on to the TV. Let's say Wind Waker can port to the small controller. Vice versa, if you're playing a game and someone wants to watch TV, they can just take the touchscreen controller and watch TV on that, right next to you
Okay,
while you're playing on the full screen.
that's
So
actually
that's really
beneficial.
cool, right? Yeah. But it's not coming out till next year. Or this year, actually. It's coming out later this year. So there's a lot of stuff that, if done right, could work really well, but I'm gonna have to see a little bit more before I plop down.
That would be really funky. Because we already have we have Microsoft integration with Windows Media and all the that sort of media suite. And then there's of course Apple's Macs and their media suites. And I have all these Android devices because they generally happen to fit the needs at the time that I was buying them. So it's like having another media conglomerate enter into my house. Like, would you let Nintendo take over all of your media needs if you could like hook up your whole house to basically talk to itself about all this kind of stuff?
I would say no for me, but that could only because at the core of it, right, it is a game system at its base, and I've let Xbox pretty much do that because the content's there. Likewise, if I had a PS3, I would probably be more akin to let, Sony start to take over my TV and use everything there because the games are there, like it's that's my sore spot with Nintendo. All of this other tech sounds pretty interesting and could be fun, but if the core games aren't there and there's just not enough in Nintendo's library that I care about. Like there's just the Marios are fun for me.
Yeah, it's like what the three franchises we care about are Zelda, Mario, and
Metroid.
Metroid, right?
Yeah. Smash Brothers. I would own a system for Smash Brothers, but there's a part of
Smash Brothers, I
me.
still count as Mario, though, conclusively
Yeah. I
enough.
mean, true, but it's got that's so fun. The difference is to get the most out of it, you have to have, 3 to 4 people, or you can
And
have two
friends.
people.
I don't have any friends.
And I would be more likely to just go buy a Wii and play the latest Smash Brothers on that thing. Like
Yeah,
the
because I bet you can get a Wii for dirt cheap nowadays.
yeah, or GameCube, and I could just go buy the latest one. So, I mean, there's just not enough reason for me. So while Nintendo has some cool stuff coming up on the horizon, there's just not enough for me to go, all right, I'll let you take over my living room. And right now, Microsoft has that for me. And
Well, I
Sony.
think the other thing too is that Nintendo has it Nintendo's not a brand that I'm comfortable with. Like, they haven't branded themselves to make me go, oh, that sounds like a great idea. Like, Steam has branded themselves in a way that I'm like, yes, please come into my house, control everything, watch me what I do, track all of my data. Google, I'm like, yes, your brand is accessible and interesting, and I could mine you for all the information that I need. Or Microsoft, I guess I use you at work, I'm not gonna fight it. Or, Apple, or I'm like, well, it's pretty reliable. I'm cool with the Apple stuff. It can come into my house, or, like the Android and all of this. But with Nintendo, I'm like, if you're not selling me a Mario game, I'm not really sure what to do with you.
Well, exactly. And like of all those, right? So let's say all of those companies are right now trying to take over your living room via their their games for the most part, right? That's where they're starting and then they're building out. So of all those, who would be the one that if you had a choice and they all had options, who would you let take over your living room?
Are we counting Steam as a separate entity here? Because I guess it is pretty much its own company.
Well, I'm counting Steam as its own, Google, Apple,
Yeah.
and then of course
And then Microsoft.
the big three, yeah.
You know what? I think of all of those, the one that I actually use the most, I mean, okay, the one that I technically use the most is Google stuff. It's like I have all these Android systems and I use, Gmail and blah, 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 blah. But that's all my like organizational stuff. In terms of actual media delivery and game delivery, and in terms of entertainment value and stuff that I actually engage with on a more than cursory level, Xbox would be a close second, except that my Xbox account got hacked and somebody bought a bunch of games with my credit card, and I've pretty much stayed the hell away ever since.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, I can't fault you for that because it can be a pain in the ass to try and get all that unwrapped. I would probably say Xbox right now has done that for me. If I had my choice for who I'm using for everything to go through, as of right now, and I can't believe I'm saying this, I would have to say Google because their apps are really well done. They're nice on the eyes. I know that was Google's biggest problem forever was that the functionality was always there, but they looked like crap because they were always designed by engineers. And yeah, they always look like
So,
shit.
like, they totally did what you wanted to do before you even knew you wanted them to do them, but they basically also looked like you were operating out of a Linux database
Yeah,
at all
they were
times.
ugly.
And I'm like,
Microsoft also used to get that. And Microsoft now, with their Metro interface and everything, is going so completely the opposite way as far as colorful and big blocky things and all this other stuff. Apple is Apple. And Microsoft, they've brought their Metro to Xbox. Sony has always been nice, but pretty. They're to me, they kind of fit more in an Apple camp. It's very nice, very businesslike, very sharp. And Nintendo is Nintendo, and it suits some people. Some people doesn't really suit me. But I think Google overall, like if I could have a Google interface like Google Plus and the way Gmail is laid out and all that stuff, if I could have that kind of interface on my TV and in my game system and have that be the hub for all my functionality, I would be game for that.
it would be like it would be so fucking sci-fi. Like I like this. That's the part I'm kind of leery about, because especially like a lot of sci-fi, a lot of science fiction has this very kind of cold thing going on. It was actually one of the things with J.J. Abrams' Star Trek, was that it's like it was very slick and very fashionable looking and very future and very for me Google, if we're gonna make that comparison. But it had a certain like it lacked a certain warmth. But I don't think anybody has really achieved that. Like, I'm a robot and I can serve your every function, but I'm also so friendly and let's be buddies, kind of
Yeah.
effect. You talk about Microsoft going with these big blocky colors and everything, and I'm like, I mean, it's their primary colors and they're appealing in their way, but for me, it feels a little too childlike in nature, like they're handing me big blocks with like letters on them, and they're like, let's spell things with our ABCs. I'm like, that's great, guys. I can handle something a little more sophisticated. So I don't know what the solution to that is. I mean, that's totally just a random aside about interface and design and all of that. But like Google relies very much on a lot of white space and a lot of blues, and it has that really cool, nifty future feeling. But at the same time, it's like, I'm gonna go hide under my couch blankets and read a book, because that's,
Is the word you're looking for sterile?
a little, yeah, it's a little
Yeah.
sterile.
I am a fan of clean design. So I like their, sense of I love that about them. And Microsoft's come a long way. I actually really liked the previous installment of the Xbox experience. I've gotten used to the new one. But I mean, I
Yeah,
actually kind of
I haven't turned on my Xbox in ages. But here's the thing, is that Microsoft used to have this huge reputation, and it still suffers from the stigma. But Microsoft, if you remember before the Xbox came out, it had this reputation of being really buggy, crashy kind of
Oh yeah.
crapware. Like it was what you needed to use because it had all the functions you needed. But you were pretty much like, haha, because it's Microsoft, and therefore it sucks. And they've managed to produce, some really excellent gaming consoles and to really, become a sophisticated force in
Yeah.
the gaming market and the media and entertainment market. And you're right. I mean, they've come a really long way, but I still nothing has defeated Google in terms of actual functionality. And I'll take function over form. I really will. So moving right along. You sent me topic three here, and we'll just segue by going topic three. Dry is time for this YouTube video that you sent me. That wait, quick game. Okay, so you sent me a video for the Resident Evil Revelations that's announced for the 360 and PS3. I want you to take a guess as to how long into the video before I had to shut it off and go nope.
Oh God. Probably 20, 32?
36. I mean, 4 whole more seconds than you thought I did.
The awesome thing about this is that it's funny, right? Because we were just talking about Wind Waker. So, talking about Wind Waker coming to a new console, Resident Evil Revelations originally released on the 3DS and was very much lauded for its graphics and everything on that system. Also for the way it approached its gameplay, because this game, as opposed to Resident Evil 6, which I played, I didn't get to play Revelations on the 3DS, but I played Resident Evil 6. As opposed to that, this game is very much a throwback to some of the original titles and more survival horror than survival action, or action horror as 6 is. It's basically Jill and Chris on a boat, on a ship, and room to room, not a lot of stuff around. You have to kind of salvage, take care of your ammo. You got to run from things occasionally. Like, it's very much kind of in that vein. And
Yeah, it is
Jill.
exactly the kind of thing that makes me go, ah, I can't do this, no. And then I hand the controller to the person next to me and be like, you do it, I will watch.
I love those type of games because I loved those original Resident Evil titles. So I'm actually kind of excited. And Jill is like my favorite character, probably followed by Claire Redfield and then Chris. Well, Chris before Claire, but they're right there. So I'm actually really excited for this. And they're gonna up-res the graphics just a bit, but I mean, it was a pretty game even then. So, and it wasn't released terribly long ago. So I'm thrilled about this. But also,
Ooh.
I'm just thrilled because after playing six, I liked things about six. I didn't think six was the craptastic piece of trash that a lot of people did. There were problems with it, and not problems
Okay.
with like that it was made crappily or anything like that. It wasn't production values, it was just the focus. Like Resident Evil 6 was very much about, you never feel, I don't know, there's not that, there's a feeling of tension sometimes, but it's normally just because you're overwhelmed by sheer numbers. It's not, there's not this tension throughout the entire game of turning around the corner and you're gonna find something. And
Right.
you have to run. Running doesn't really happen, like it happens sometimes.
So it sounds like that was the problem with six too, was that you didn't feel threatened.
Yeah, you don't feel, there's plenty of ammo constantly. You're not running out of ammo. You're not, you have so many melee options available to you that even when you run out of ammo, like you could basically just go through the whole game meleeing shit. And the only times of real danger are, I mean, the boss fights are to a point, but they're fairly near boss fights, but it's when you get swarmed. It's when you get overwhelmed because there's like 20 zombies and they're all coming after you. Those are the only times where you feel tension. As opposed to before, where it was like every room, every corner, every hallway you walked up, and it could be a dog and it didn't matter. You always felt like, oh God, am I going to use ammo on this? Do I go hit it with something because I don't want to use it? I mean, it was all that kind of stuff. So I'm very looking forward to that. It's funny because after talking about that, I know you played The Cave.
I did.
Is it
And it.
horror at all? Or no? Or.
No.
Okay.
No. It's. Okay, so have you played Psychonauts?
No, I have not.
Oh, then fuck it. Conversation over. Okay,
Why?
what else you got?
What'd I do? You can spoil
It.
Psychonauts for me, though.
No. I'm not going to spoil Psychonauts. I don't think I could. That would require me to be able to explain Psychonauts. And it's kind of one of those games where you just shove the controller into someone's hand and go, "It's awesome. Just play it." Okay. It's a 2D platformer game. It's mostly puzzles, so there's no like monsters to fight or whatever. You're not like running around with a gun shooting things and getting chased down. It is a puzzle game, so you already start out not feeling again super creeped out or whatever because you're basically your whole brain is focused on like you're controlling three characters at once and they can all be on different parts of the map and you can switch between them all. So you're basically just mostly focused on okay, how do I solve this puzzle, and so I played it pretty much straight through my first playthrough. And other people that I live with would come and hang out and help me solve puzzles. So it was really, it kind of had like a communal aspect to it. And the way that they keep describing it on these websites is dark humor. So it's not so much like dark horror. It's a lot of just like very, I think unfortunately dark humor is probably the way to put it. I mean, it's funny and it's entertaining and it's engaging and the narrator is humorous and there's a lot of jokes. Like it's another game you can't really die in. When your character dies, it just respawns at whatever nearest respawn point it happened to die from. And you know, you just go on with trying to solve the puzzle. So like the first time you die, the narrator is like, well, we can't have that. And the second time you die, he's like, no, really, please stop. And the third time you die, he's like, look, I can't let you die due to liability issues, so just please give it up now. So you know, I played through my first play. Three characters that I played were the twins, which is one character, the time traveler, and the monk, and they all have their individual dungeons. And you basically, the end goal of every dungeon is to murder the shit out of someone, but it's puzzle solving. You're not just walking up to them and smacking them around in a boss fight. It's like you know, the monk has his uses his special power and ends up achieving his goal of becoming head monk, but mostly by using his special power to solve a bunch of puzzles, which ends up dropping the other head monk into an abyss, you know.
Yeah.
So you know, in the end of the game, they're like, the narrator's like, you know, they didn't really your characters didn't really learn the lessons they were supposed to learn. They mostly just went around being murderous hobos. Oh well.
So it is fun though.
Oh, it was a blast. I had a great time. And I think the one of the commentaries I saw on it was that it is definitely like a 90s platformer. And so, you know, for some people it's going to bring back a whole lot of nostalgia, and for some people it's going to bring back all the memories of why we stopped playing these kinds of games. So
I hear that.
yeah, so there's a lot of back and forth, there's a lot of running around, there's a lot of just like I got stuck a couple times, and you know, my friends were able to help me figure some stuff out. And then I think there was only one puzzle in the whole game that I had to resort to the internet to solve. And it was, you know, literally I'd forgotten about this one thing that was in the middle of the puzzle that I'd already picked up, and I went, oh yeah, right, oh, that makes sense. So
Did you
you
beat
know,
it?
it's yeah, it's
Oh,
only
okay.
like 4 or 5 hours straight. So you
Okay.
know, I picked it up and I played it for an hour, and then I put it down and wandered around and did chores, and then came back and played it for 4 or 5 hours and beat it. But the way that it works is that there's basically, when you're playing through, there's 6 dungeons. There's 3 standard dungeons, and then each character has their own special dungeon.
Oh,
So
okay.
I got 3 dungeons relevant to the characters I was playing. There's 7 characters total, so I probably will play through again to see some more of the other dungeons. But I had a great time. And I picked it up. It was only $15, and you know, for 5 to 10 hours of play for a $15 game is pretty freaking sweet. It's getting a lot of, you know, positive reviews, and it's mostly because the animation is really cute, the characters are really diverse, the narration is really snarky but funny but dark, and it plays very smoothly. So, considering the powerhouse of names, Double Fine Studios, and so on and so forth, that's behind it. You know, I pretty much picked it up on reputation alone. You know, I read a couple of good reviews and then realized, you know, what was going on and who had produced it, and went, all right, you know what, I will pay $15 to see these studios make more games, and then, you know, had a blast with the game itself. So I hear that you finished all the Mass Effect DLC, is that correct?
I did. I played Leviathan and Omega, and I was actually already like 75% of the way through my second playthrough. So after that, I bought both DLCs and played through. Leviathan, I actually really enjoyed. Kind of different. Very much. There's some heavy combat sections, but it's kind of more contextual based. Kind of a lot of backstory about this, side mission. And then once you kind of get towards the end of it. Okay, so here's the best way to set this up. So it kind of starts out where it's very investigative. And there's parts of Mass Effect that have been like that. The Kasumi mission on Mass Effect 2 actually reminds me a lot about that. You kind
I
of
had a good time with that, but I was kind of glad that that mission was short, because I was like, I don't think I could have taken much more of that than what was there, you know?
So this is kind of the same way. There's two little
Okay.
bits of that, and you're kind of researching and doing some other stuff. So it's got like two kind of small chunks of that, and then it's got some combat in between. But the final part of it is actually really, really cool, really engaging. If I have one problem with it, it's that it's kind of, as of right now, right? I've downloaded the extended cut and everything like that. But I haven't actually, my first playthrough, I didn't have that. So my second playthrough will have all the extended cut stuff. And I'm kind of hoping that there's actually kind of a semi, for fans of the lore anyway, there's kind of like a semi big reveal towards the end of this. And, that was not referenced at all in the original. In the original ending of ME3 or towards the end at all. So I'm like,
Oh.
okay, and there's something pretty cool that happens at the end of this. I'm like, is this when I get to the end, is this gonna be referenced at all? Like, are they gonna help? Or are they gonna be, is this just gonna be its like own little contained thing and that's it? Or are they actually like, I'm really hoping that at some point, they thought about, okay, well, people will be playing this on their second or third playthroughs. So since we're doing the DLC, we should implement, this storyline should continue a little bit towards the end of the game instead of just being, okay, well, it was that mission and that's it. And I'm really hoping that that's the case, 'cause if not, it kind of takes away from some of the epicness of it. It's actually pretty cool what happens at the end of that. So there was
Okay.
that, and I enjoyed it. I had a good time with it. Omega was badass.
Was
Okay.
it really? Because I wanted that to be part of the main game, and I can't. Again, the housemate that had the Mass Effect 3 game no longer lives with us, so I like this is all I have to live vicariously through you. So,
Omega, I would have. I agree, right? That was such a big, like, gap when in the original playthrough, just because of, she's such a big character. Omega's pretty long, so it's actually pretty sizable. It's actually took me probably a good solid 2, 3 hours, and I, you know, of so it's. I mean, it's a good chunk of additional content, right? And you actually get. It doesn't involve any of your regular crew. So it's just you, and then you get, eventually you get kind of, two new characters or whatever to kind of roll through. Obviously one is, Arya.
right.
And I gotta say, she was already, I love that character anyway. And she's a fucking badass. And, the mission overall, like I will say, it's actually worth the money. 'Cause it was action packed. It's got some story to it. Of course, the deal with hers as opposed to the other one, you already know how that turns out, right? Because she gives you the reinforcements even in the original campaign. So,
Right.
like, she mentions that, but it actually is very, it's very good. Like, it was really worth it. I was excited about it. And it kind of made me, there's a part that kind of made me sad that I couldn't take some of the characters with me into the main campaign.
Oh.
Like, I was kind of sad. What's awesome though is Arya has a power called Flare, and
Oh.
Flare is the sh if Flare is awesome. It hits like a group of enemies and disables shields, and if they're weak enough, like, will completely incapacitate them right off the bat. And once you finish it, now I don't know if this changes depending on like what choices you made, dialogue and stuff like that. But once you finish it, you actually unlock that power to use.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, and that's like, we'll be doing that as soon as I get back to my ship. Like,
You're
it's
just gonna be
awesome.
like you're gonna be Shepard walking around your ship going,
Just
"Hey
flare.
guys, guess what? Flare! You know what? I feel that you need more flare. You have 47 pieces of flare."
Also, it's very cool to play with. That is one thing I really enjoyed about the Kinect. Being able to play with that was kind of nice, because basically it amounted to me seeing a group of them, and then Arya flare, and it would just boom. And I was like, oh, there's such a power of like, holy crap, I can actually do that. That's the shit. Like, I love that. It was fun. Like, the Kinect worked really well. I didn't use it for dialogue choices because it was still a little like, it wasn't accurate enough, to be like where I felt really comfortable, because the first time I used it goofed up on me and picked the wrong option, and I was pissed.
Yeah.
But for those, it was accurate as hell. Like, I hardly ever had one that missed. And then I actually got to play the Re Metal Gear Solid Revengeance demo.
Yeah, so Metal Gear Solid is one of those games that I also can't play because, see, the thing is about survival horror that totally upsets me is the it's like the music and the suspense. It is it's actually literally the suspense that I have a really hard time with. It's why BioShock was hard for me to get started on because they do a lot of suspense. Like, you know, you can hear enemies, but you can't see where they're coming from. And like the first at least half hour of me playing BioShock was just me setting everything on fire, including myself, and
Yeah.
just kind of hoping for the best. So Metal Gear Solid does that a lot too.
True.
You know, so there's a lot of like sneaking around and being like stealthy, and you know, like if you get caught, you have to restart the mission. But there's like my palms start sweating, and like I start like twitching, and I'm like, I can't handle the stress. Done. So,
Well, you might like this game then,
you
because
think so?
it is the exact opposite of that.
Oh, is it just run in and shoot everything and then go?
It's run in and slice everything. So the deal is, this is made by Platinum. Of course, Platinum's like Bayonetta, Fame, and Vanquish, and all those games. So it has the Metal Gear trappings as far as like you're on your codec system, and it's got some of the same as far as like UI and things. Like there's things that are reminiscent of the Metal Gear series. But then once you get to gameplay. Of course, it kind of deals with the cyborg ninja that's been part of the franchise and stuff, and he's got this like cybernetic katana thing, right? I love talking about games sometimes because I get to say sentences like that, right? It's awesome.
Oh yeah. My significant other and I were earlier talking about wouldn't it be cool to have a power set that is a telekinetic total knockout? Or like it just sounds cool to say like TK TKO. Yeah.
Yes, it's a and it's awesome, right? So there's a cool thing. If you hold down the trigger, you bring up like it kind of zooms in just a bit, and you can see now the action's going still going, so people are leaping at you and doing other stuff, but it's kind of slow, just a hair. And you can with one stick you move the horizontal trajectory of your slice, and with the other stick you move the vertical. So you're moving the camera kind of exactly where, and you can kind of tilt how the blade, what direction the blade is coming from and what direction it's going
Oh,
out. And
okay, that's actually really cool.
once you release the trigger, he slices exactly as you left it. Now the person's still moving, so you have to kind of, estimate exactly where it's going to hit and stuff. But when you release it, he will slice like directly through at that spot. So like dudes are just like chopping in half. Right, you can behead somebody, you can chop off their arms, you
Now
can
I have
chop
to
off their
stop you.
hands.
Aren't you really glad that this isn't the Kinect game for your girlfriend to beat you up with?
Little bit, actually, a little bit, 'cause she would totally beat me at that. She would beat me up. That's 'cause I
Yes.
bruise like a peach. I'm very fragile, and but it's cool
Peaches. You be my little Princess Peach.
The mechanic is cool, and it's kind of funny that now they think about it, but actually be kind of neat if it had Kinect implementation, if they were able to kind of manufacture that, but that'd be kind of difficult and probably wouldn't work right and be accurate. But it's actually kind of cool. It's really fast paced, a lot of combos. So it might actually be the one Metal Gear game that you could actually like give a shot and enjoy, because it's no there is stealth if you want there to be. You can walk up behind an unsuspecting guard. And when I say walk up, I mean you could knock over everything and run up to him and he would never know you're there.
He wouldn't even turn around.
It is the sorriest implementation of stealth. Like I was running and I'm like, oh, I gotta slow down. Didn't even notice me. I ran up to him and he just stands there unsuspecting. And I even like got in his view a bit, but he didn't notice me. And then I stabbed him from behind, as if he never saw me. I went, really? That's terrible. I mean, why even have it? But okay, whatever. So it's pretty, it's fun. I mean, it's very much, action packed or whatever. But it's very cool, actually.
Cool.
Worth a download, worth a demo, you know.
Worth the demo at least. All right, that's fair.
Absolutely. Okay, but that's pretty much all I played this weekend. I actually threw in Walking Dead earlier. I started to play the second episode, and so I'll probably be playing that all week. I want to be able to.
I still need to pick that up. I mean, I've heard nothing but amazing things about it, and
Very good.
maybe that'll be my next investment.
It should be, because it is very good. But with that, let's go ahead and take a break, and then when we get back, we will get into collectibles and sounding off.
Woo-hoo. And welcome back. I hope you enjoyed our little break. We're going to descend into the depths of collardables today. It's just me today, but that's okay. I found this week something that actually made Navi from Zelda. It's a very Zelda episode today.
It really is.
Yeah, Navi, not obnoxious as crap. Like, you know, normally the okay, so for example, I play a lot of tabletop games, a lot of pen and pencil, and the quickest way to get a non-player character murdered is to have it go, "Hey, listen," and then that's it. Its head is cut off, the thing is cast in a river, rolled up in a blanket, and the players are walking away whistling, pleased with themselves. Like, there's just no question that this is one of the most obnoxious characters in video game history. And she is at best for people who are like, she's not that bad, go, she was tolerable or she didn't bother me. But there is an Etsy seller that goes by the name of Hylian Crafts. So, you know, they're also very Zelda-centric. And they made these little necklaces that are little Navi necklaces. And they're freaking adorable. You know, it's a little frosted globe with little, like, bronze wings attached. And it's a drop necklace. And, you know, it's totally geeky, but I think it could totally pass as non-geeky couture as well. So, you know, for those of us who have to pass among the muggles, so to speak, you know, it's just totally wearable in respectable company as well. And the thing that I really liked about them is, so, like, I'm really enjoying looking at that, but a lot of times when you come across, like, nerdy jewelry, it's, like, super expensive or, you know, really hard to get your hands on. And it's cool when you get some, but for the most part, it's just not really attainable. These necklaces are in the $10 to $15 range, like super cheap. So, you know, definitely if you're a Zelda fan, you know, even if you don't like Navi, you'll probably like these necklaces, and I would say snap one up.
So that's pretty neat. I'll have the link to that in the show notes, of course. And for sounding off, a little bit of news that came out was that Rogue, Kitty Pryde, and Iceman are returning for X-Men Days of Future Past. Now, Days of Future Past, of course, is, you know, based on the iconic storyline. And Bryan Singer is returning to take over this movie. Matthew Vaughn, who did First Class, which was actually really well received, kind of stepped off. And Bryan Singer is stepping in to direct that. And there's already, you know, Hugh Jackman's already, you know, doing, reprising a role for this. Ian McKellen and Captain Picard. What the heck is his real name? Patrick Stewart.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
There you go. Captain Picard. Like, I froze. They're both coming back to reprise some role, whether it's a, you know, cameo or what. We don't really know what, you know, because I mean, of course, this storyline revolves around time travel, so it could be whatever. But three more were announced today. And those characters, along with the actors that played them, which were Anna Paquin, Sean Ashmore, and Ellen Page, right? They are all coming back to reprise those roles. Now, I have said it on numerous shows how I loved the first two X movies. I liked the first X-Men. Let's rephrase that. I liked the first X-Men. I loved X2, okay? X2 is, like, one of my favorite movies. It's great. But I could not stand the bastardized character that was Rogue. And it just... Oh, Rogue is, like, one of my favorite characters.
She was so fucking Taylor Swift. And that is not a context we had at the time that the movie came out. But,
holy,
you know,
crap!
That's
perfect!
You know, but now that Taylor Swift is a thing that exists, I can point to say that. That is what Rogue was, and no.
You just blew my mind. That is exactly, that is the per, that I never thought about that. That is exactly right. Rogue in those movies was Taylor Swift. She was Trouble. Like that? Like how I brought it back? Reference the Taylor Swift song?
Nice.
Don't hate on me.
Like
okay.
That. No, regardless. I am once again delighted that you have skill sets that I don't, up to and including naming Taylor Swift songs. So.
I think you're lying, but it's okay. So, I was not a fan of the way that he handled the character. I thought she was wimpy and pretty much a waste of space and just totally was not Rogue from the books. And it's just, she just whined the entire time. Like, ugh, could not stand her. Okay, nothing against Anna Paquin. That was how she was directed to act. But so it's most of my beef lies with Brian. So here's the thing. I love your work, Brian. Okay. I'm a fan. This is my plea Please God. I don't know how long her part is in the movie. I don't know. It could be 5 seconds, could be like 10 minutes. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is, please God. Please just let her say something not stupid. Also, please let her do
Your
something.
demands are easy.
Let her do something. Something. It doesn't matter what, other than take someone's powers and then feel bad about it for half the damn movie. That was her
And
role in
I just
one of them.
remember her like trying to cutely hit on Wolverine and going,
And just,
"Oh,
ugh.
this isn't working for me."
Ugh. It's awful. Awful. Please, just let her be semi-cool. That's all I'm asking. A step up from the complete waste of space that she was in the last movie.
And I have to say, I love Night of Oa's open pleas to various creators. I think this is a great segment to have on our show.
Well, that is about it for us. So, of course, you can always catch us at Vanity Games for JDot on Twitter and then at Night of Oa for me. And you can always go to Geek Tyrant and Game Tyrant. Thank you to both of them for hosting the show. And always make sure to check the site for articles from me and a bunch of other writers. And, of course,
Bunch of good stuff, yeah.
yeah, and JDot has.
Yep, I just posted a new article. Well, I just submitted a new article review, so I'll be talking about Comixology this week. And you're welcome to stop on by womenreadingcomics.com
There it is.
and check out my articles and a lot of other great ones. There's a lot of Transformers stuff on there, and I love giant robots, but I've never really watched Transformers. But I am definitely enjoying reading other people's enthusiasm for these. So, you know, it is by women, but it is for everyone. So please come on by.
Rock on, and you can always catch your comic at vanitygames.com.
Well,
And
not right now.
not right now, but check
Not
back
while
tomorrow, it'll
adding to
probably
my
be
web
working.
host, but next week.
Gotcha. So until next time, that is a full lid.